Hello and welcome to the seventh episode of the 3P podcast. I'm your host for today, Stephen Benazzo, and I'm joined by
Josh Fromowitz.
Today, our other co-host, Alex Castle, cannot be with us for the show today, but later we will have our social media guy, Matt Angler, joining us for the Stardom Sit 'em segment, so we're looking forward to having him on later. But for right now, it'll just be Josh and I debating many different topics, especially, with the NFL. Do a recap. We'll talk about the Giants situation, the Bears, and last but not least, everything going on with the Jets. And there's a lot to be said there. But right now, we'll start with an NFL recap, some of the biggest games. Josh, you start us off with it.
So, Steve, what do you want to start with? Should we talk about the Jets first or what? You tell me.
I mean, maybe we'll, let's talk with some of the games, okay. Maybe some games that we could start with the Giants-Cowboys game.
Okay.
It was a very interesting game, and then especially with Dak Prescott, and then we can maybe go into the Giants situation. So, I mean, overall, if we start about the game, it was a phenomenal game, very entertaining. I thought, to be honest, the Giants would have a chance. How about you?
I agree. I was very intrigued with that game. Look, Dak Prescott's injury was very unfortunate. Prayers up for him, speedy recovery and everything. Very unfortunate that it happened. But throughout the game, it was very competitive, high scoring. I really thought the Giants were going to pull it out. But it looked like towards the end, after the injury, that fueled the Cowboys even more. You saw Ezekiel Elliott right away, his touchdown, put up the four to honor Dak Prescott. CeeDee Lamb continued to ball out that game with or without Prescott on the field. Andy Dalton didn't look like he missed a step filling in for Dak. But the Giants didn't go down without a fight. Jones definitely kept control of the ball a little better this game than he has in the past. It looked like they're starting to find a run game with Devontae Freeman. But their defense, I think, still is a question. They need to improve. I wasn't fully sold on their defense, but their offense, it turned some eyes for me personally.
And that's you brought up a good point, Andy Dalton not missing a step. Here's the thing. I'm a little not worried for Dallas because I think Dak Prescott is underrated. A lot of people think he's overrated. I like Dak Prescott. I've liked him at Mississippi State. I've liked him so far every year he has played in this league. And not only is he a good quarterback, he is a phenomenal guy off the field. And especially what everything that he went through, especially this year. I mean, I prayers up to him. I hope he makes a speedy recovery. But a lot of people don't like Dak Prescott as a player. They just think he doesn't have what it takes to win. And listen, has he, he's made to the postseason, and has he done anything in the postseason? No, you can't deny that. But I don't think Dak is as bad of a quarterback as everyone thinks he is.
I agree.
That being said, Andy Dalton did look good Sunday stepping in. But like you said, I think they were playing for something, playing for Dak. As the weeks go on, I don't know if Andy Dalton is going to be the guy, if that makes sense. I mean, I think he'll help them win games because they have a very talented roster and they have Ezekiel Elliott. They have their defense. They have some good guys on their defense. I don't know why their defense is struggling this bad. I mean, they're like historically bad on offense. They just have so many weapons. So Dalton should be good enough just because he has guys like Amari, Michael Gallup, CeeDee Lamb, the rookie. He's really taking off to a whole other level now. But I'm still not convinced with Andy Dalton. And I think it's not the worst guy to have as a backup, but I think they're going to miss Dak Prescott more than they think and that everyone thinks. And I think this is why Dak Prescott will finally receive the credit he deserves, because this is like the first season he has not played a full season. I don't know if he's missed a game
yet. I don't think he's
never missed a game. No. So obviously last season he had very good stats, but they didn't win as many games. But that whole NFC East was shaky last year, and it's shaky this year. But I think this year without basically Dak for almost, not a full season, but we're about a quarter in. So now you got to play another two quarters of the season, or no, more. You still have like half a season left, more, you know, than half a season. So there's a lot of time, and I think they're going to miss Dak Prescott a lot more than they would have thought. So, but yeah, the Giants, listen, I feel bad for them because I thought at one point, yeah, they should have had that game. And like you said, Jones looked better. Still not exactly. I mean, I just feel like he played so much better last year as a rookie than he is this year, second year. I mean, can you agree with me on that? Or
yeah, I definitely agree. And I don't want to say he's regressing because that'll scare every Giants fan, even though they might be thinking it. I think some of it might be adjusting to the new play call and how that's obviously very difficult for a young quarterback. It's happened to Darnold, Baker, every quarterback, it seems like, when they have their rookie, their first play caller, they get comfortable towards the end of the season and then they look hot. And then you're hoping what you see at the end of the season last year transfers to the beginning of this season. But when there's coaching changes, new offensive line, new weapons on the outside, the chemistry isn't there, especially no preseason, no training, no real training camp. It's going to take time for that adjustment to be there. But going back to what I was touching on is, I think it's part of it is the play calling. But some of it is on him. He's got to take care of the ball. The play calling issue is not what is causing all the fumbles, the turnovers. Like, that's a personal thing that he's got to fix.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the play calling might be awful, but just because maybe the play is not good doesn't mean it's going to result in an automatic turnover. So he does have to do that. I saw, like, he only has 2 touchdowns on the year, like, passing. But he's got more interceptions. Like, 5 or 6 picks and a few fumbles. So he's got, like, almost like a 2 to 8, 9, 10 touchdown to turnover ratio. And that's not ideal, especially if you're trying to win games. So, I mean, both teams really have a lot of work to do, a lot going forward. The Cowboys are going to have to adjust to life without Dak Prescott for this season. And, you know, to be honest, I wouldn't mind if the Bears picked him up in free agency, but the Cowboys should pay Dak Prescott.
I think they will. I think Jerry Jones has finally realized how stubborn he has been with his money. And mm-hmm. He realized that after this injury and what Dak has meant to the community, not just on the field, but like you said, off the field, I think he'll get the money. Because,
you know what?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I can't remember exactly what Marcus Spears on ESPN said, but he brought up a really good point of saying, you know, now everyone's comments about Dak, especially Jerry Jones, they're saying this now about the injury and like how, you know, they're going to take care of him, stuff like that. But why did it take the injury to come out with this? The entire time before this injury, everyone was hesitant to say it, hesitant to, you know, talk about it or deal with it. Like, why? So I really agreed with what Marcus Spears had to say about that. And I forgot what show he said it on. I had ESPN on the other day, and I wish I, like, recorded it. I'm sure it's on YouTube somewhere, or even, you know, ESPN may have posted the video of it. So I'm sure I can find it somewhere. But his point was very it was a good point that he made. So now I guess we can transition a little bit to my Bears. 4-1, it's not too bad. Some people call it ugly, but you know, I don't care. And you know what? We're 4-1, and that's all that matters. Nick Foles is undefeated against Tom Brady.
What a win.
It was a crazy win. And you know what? Again, I'll take it. A win is a win. And again, I saw another video. And I'm going to try to find this woman's name. She's through CBS Sports. And basically she said, there's no such thing as an ugly win. Now, you can debate that because there is. But she said a win is a beautiful thing, which it is. I mean, listen, it doesn't matter how you do it. If you can win, then good for you. It's not easy to win in any league, especially the NFL, especially during this year of the NFL. With all the injuries, players opting out, everything with COVID. I mean, all these places, you know, facilities having to shut down. I mean, heck, the Titans haven't even, like, played football in 3 weeks, and they just blew out Buffalo. Props to them. But back to the Bears. So listen, I'll take a 4-1 start. There's always room for improvement. The guys know that. But if they're still able to win games while not playing at their best, imagine what if they play to their best and their capability, what we can actually look like. I mean, Farmers, I don't know if you have a point to this, but I'm just saying I like the sound of 4-1.
I agree with what you're saying. Getting a win in the National Football League might be one of the hardest things to do, like you were saying. And while we shit on Adam Gase and all the other coaches, to win in the National Football League is one of the hardest things to do. So props to everyone, like the Bears, being able to be 4-1 at this point. But I want to talk about after the game. And Steve, I know you saw this. When the traditional quarterbacks shake hands, Nick Foles went to midfield to shake Tom Brady's hand, only for Tom Brady to quickly walk off the field and not shake Nick Foles' hand. And that raised a lot of questions about Tom Brady's character, what kind of leader he is. So, Steve, I want to know your opinion on that.
I thought it was messed up. You know, granted, I know during this time, players may not want to, you know, you can't exchange jerseys. That's the rule the NFL created. And maybe you don't want to get super close with guys, even though you just played a football game against them with everything COVID-related. But this was not COVID-related. Tom Brady was frustrated. He was mad that he just lost in general. But then once again, he lost to Nick Foles. But dude, you know what? You have beaten so many quarterbacks. You know how many quarterbacks look forward to after you just beat them, look forward to shaking your hand, telling you good game, maybe get some advice from you. Not that Nick Foles is looking for advice from Tom Brady. He just wanted to do the right thing. Whether the Bears lost or not, Nick Foles would have still went to midfield. I know that because that's the kind of guy Nick Foles is. And everyone was hating on LeBron when LeBron left the court early after one of their losses in the finals, you know, when there's still time left, even though, like, whatever, like, they were going to lose, and he was just going back to the locker room, and everyone just hated on LeBron for that. But then now it seems like Brady, yes, people are talking about it, but they're not hating on him as much as they were hating on LeBron. So I just think, listen, it's not like Brady never goes to midfield. If he never has done that, I would have made a big deal about it. But usually he goes to midfield and, you know, shakes the other quarterback's hand, talks about them, maybe give advice depending on their age or just whatever, checks in on them, and then they go off their ways. But for him to just go off the field in like kind of a pissy mood, which I get you lost, but show some respect to the guy. So I thought it was messed up. I thought Brady was not wrong, but I thought he could have handled it better. Even if it was a quick little like handshake, kind of pat, and then he went out. I wouldn't have been fine. He didn't have to stay and chat with Nick Foles for 20 minutes after the game. But maybe show a little sportsmanship.
I agree.
So I don't know. Those are my thoughts. But yeah, I mean, listen, I'm looking forward to the Bears just going forward. Nick Foles is now, that was his second game started. Really, technically 3 games played, but 2 fully started games. So now they go to Carolina. See what that brings. So there's some question marks with the Bears, but I think they should be able to, as long as they get the offense going, then I think they should be fine. But
hey, it'll be a good game. Don't sleep on Carolina.
No, they play
tough offense. They're getting their stuff together.
Even without Christian McCaffrey. I mean, Mike Davis, who the Bears signed last year and released midseason last year, is going off, which just like irritates me.
They're 3 receivers. They could all ball. They're scary.
They are. So that'll be a good game. But I don't think there's another team in the league with so many question marks than the J-E-T-S Jets, Jets, Jets. It makes me laugh. I'm sorry for laughing from it, but
I'm laughing too.
Yeah, it's just so, I just don't know what the Jets' plans are. You think you have an idea, but then the next day it changes. I don't even know how to approach this, but we're going to approach this. So, Farmers, I think let's just let everyone hear just your thoughts as being a Jets fan currently, and then we'll dive deeper into it.
Let everyone know my thoughts as a Jet fan. That's always a great start. That's a great way to either gain a lot of viewers or lose everyone from listening.
It depends if they're Jets fans.
That's the only way of finding out. Being a Jets fan feels like I know what the Cleveland, what it's like to be a Cleveland Browns fan during the Hugh Jackson days. I think that's the best way of putting it, Steve.
You're slowly approaching that.
I'm laughing through the pain of being a Jets fan because of what our team has done. Just within 2020, we draft and trade for young talent. 2017 or 2016, we drafted Jamal Adams, proven all-pro safety. He wanted to spend his career with the New York Jets. And this past offseason, we trade him to Seattle for a second round and a safety who, okay, he's not Jamal Adams. Jamal Adams was a top three safety. He still is a top three safety when healthy. Okay, we signed Le'Veon Bell last year. That was a huge offseason move. One of the only brilliant moves Mike Maccagnan, the former GM, has done. And then we obviously got rid of him for Joe Douglas. And Le'Veon Bell, the Steelers all-pro running back, has never rushed for 100 yards in his 18 games with the Jets. Hasn't rushed for more than 85 yards even. He was terrible with us. We overpaid him. But to cut him? Steve, hold up. Steve. We cut our all-pro running back, who I still think is in his prime, has good years. You couldn't even get a draft pick for him.
Well, this is why. Not that the Jets are stupid, but this is where other teams are smart. Because they know the Jets just did not.
Of course.
Yeah, the Jets did not want him. That was well known. Even from last year, Adam Gase basically said he didn't want Le'Veon Bell.
Right. And it was smart of the teams.
Yeah. And plus, why would a team take – and then Le'Veon has become disgruntled. He became disgruntled after disappointing the season last year. And then when they traded Jamal, and Jamal helped recruit Le'Veon to New York, then he was disgruntled about that.
Well, they also beefed a little at the end, so that kind of led to Jamal's departure.
Yeah, but then he was, you know, still looking forward to the season, and then the season has just gone downhill mightily. And basically, so Bell has now become disgruntled. The Jets are just disgruntled with themselves and their players. So they knew that Bell was not going to be on the Jets that much longer, whether it was trade or release. And the teams figured, well, basically they hold the leverage, because why are they going to take on that massive contract and give up something when pretty much they know, they have a feeling, just like many other players do, if a team can't find a trade partner, they're just going to end up releasing them. So they can just sign Le'Veon to cheap one-year deal without giving up anything, and then have Le'Veon Bell on their team, and now the Jets still having to pay Le'Veon and dead money and all that other stuff. And what an awful situation the Jets are in.
That's a nice way of putting it, I think.
The Jets are just not, like, run well front, you know, speaking in terms of front office and coaching.
It's a mix of filling all of Maccagnan's mistakes that are now slowly biting us. Like you said, we're paying Le'Veon Bell's dead money, Jamal Adams, that whole situation, Sam Darnold's issue now being injured, and Joe Flacco having to start, all of our injuries, Becton's now going to miss a second game, all the injuries, Gase's play calling. We haven't even talked about how he's still the coach. Yeah, you made the eyes. That was him at all of his press conferences.
Yeah, retweet.
There's a lot of issues that we're dealing with, and a lot of them, it seems like, come back to coaching. And when it comes to coaching, you usually blame the head coach. There needs to be a change, and I don't know why ownership still keeps giving Adam Gase the credit he deserves when he is winless this year. The Jets haven't been competitive in any of the game. All but one game, the Broncos game, I'll say they were competitive in. But to be blown out in every other game is ridiculous.
Now, I'm going to pose this question because I've seen it. I've seen this question on social media. I don't know if it's made its way like to ESPN, but it's been a popular question on social media. Are the Jets trying to tank for Trevor Lawrence, the number one pick? Or are they really – listen, I know they're bad. There's no way around it. They're bad. But, like, at least the Giants, I feel like the Giants are bad, but they're trying to win games. Look at last week, you know, or even the game against the Bears. Or week one against Steelers, they were, like, contending for the most – like, they're trying to play football and, like, play well, but they just can't seem to finish it. The Jets, on the other hand, are just – it seems like every move they make are trying to
– regress.
Yes. I mean, just going back to Jamal Adams, all the dude wanted was to be paid, and he deserved to be paid. But you said no. So then he said, basically, trade me if you're not going to pay me. So they said, all right, we'll just trade you instead of paying you. So they traded him. You're basically your franchise player, your best player on the team, your leader on that defense, and literally probably the best safety in this league. And then Le'Veon Bell, why would you even sign him if your head coach doesn't even like him? Why would that ever make sense? Or why would Adam Gase...
And then make him the highest paid running back.
Well, that's it too. You know, like, listen, Le'Veon, if he was being offered that contract, like, hell yeah, he's going to take that. Who cares? And, you know, he's got a young quarterback in Darnold. The Jets, as of last year when they made these moves, seemed like, you know what, maybe they can make some noise. Now it's like, what can they do just to get a win? So I just, and it seems like Joe Douglas, and I saw another thing too, like Joe Douglas, maybe he's trying to get his own guys. But then why is Adam Gase still the head coach? He didn't hire Adam Gase, like you said. So then why are they holding on to Adam Gase?
I just want to touch upon, because you made a bunch of good points. So the first one, the tanking for Trevor Lawrence, you started to talk about. Look, I don't know. Part of me just thinks that they are, but another thinks that they're just this bad. Because as a Jets fan, I am very optimistic still in Darnold. He is our guy. And with the right support, he's a good quarterback. We all have seen his scramble against Denver. That was an incredible 60-yard run. That takes pure athleticism. And I'm sure the Giants are in a similar boat with Daniel Jones. With the right pieces, a healthy Saquon, Daniel Jones will look a lot better than what he's looking like right now.
I don't know why. Also, the thing with the Giants, this is old news. I just don't know why you would trade Odell Beckham Jr. And then, like, was it the same year they drafted Daniel Jones? Yes.
Yes.
So why would you trade Odell Beckham Jr.? I think it was right before they drafted. So why would you trade? And this is kind of like what the Jets are doing now. Like, why are you trading and releasing all these guys? And, like, you want to help your young quarterback, but now you're taking away a key piece of the defense to help your team stop the other team from scoring. And now you cut Le'Veon Bell, who's like one of the better options Darnold has. And granted, I get it. Bell really was like, really the Bell case was hard because he wasn't doing anything. And then both sides were kind of just were not really uniting. They were just separating from each other. It seemed like, you know, they were kind of just, there was beef between the two sides. So it's just like, why do these certain moves make sense? And that's why I just like, I know I like to think I have somewhat idea of like a general manager role and like running a team. I mean, I run my team in Madden. I get it's a lot different. But I think I do a pretty good job. I just feel like these managers, general managers in real life are just so like, they're just idiots. They don't make sense. And I feel like anyone else, if they were the GM of the Jets, would have fired Adam Gase before trading Jamal Adams, cutting Le'Veon Bell, and all these other things. I feel like that would have been top priority.
Yeah, I agree. But at the same time, I still think Joe Douglas is the right GM for us.
I can agree with that. I think he's got some potential.
He definitely does. He did very well with the Eagles. They won a Super Bowl under him as GM.
Or even
Yeah.
Sorry, just to add on, like the Bears case, Ryan Pace. Mm-hmm. Made the move for Khalil Mack 2 years ago. Phenomenal. And look what he did to that team. Now, our star on offense, Allen Robinson, his contract's coming up, and you're reluctant to sign him, extend him. He wants to be here. He's literally the guy that our quarterbacks, whether it's Mitch or Nick Foles, rely on. And he's just very underrated. He's like right now by Pro Football Focus is ranking him as like the fourth best receiver in the league right now, just based on stats and grades and all that. I'm not saying that he is, but that's what they ranked him. Why are you hesitant to sign him and making this such a big – like, that's why I get there's a lot that goes into it, especially with salary cap and something like that is a lot more complex than we know and actually see. But it's not like we have no idea, you know. I think if we were to go in there – and it's not like them just running the show by themselves. They have a lot of help, a lot of support within the front office. That's why it's the whole office. It's not just – at the end of the day, the general manager does pretty much make the decisions unless if the owner puts his hand in. But they get a lot of input. They get a lot of other people, their staff, helping them with numbers and stuff like that. So that's why I don't get why a lot of these moves they make are just like seems like to be the worst moves that their team can make.
Yeah. So I finally want to go back to what I was saying.
Sorry, cutting you off.
No, you're good. No, that was good to say because it's relevant. About Trevor Lawrence, he would obviously be a great fit for us, and it seems like that's the direction they're heading, which is very unfortunate because then it seems like we're going in circles. Will the trade value be there for Darnold? Teams know that if they could just wait out a few days or weeks, the Jets would possibly just cut him, even though I hope that's not the case.
You can't cut Darnold.
You can't, but who knows?
You never know.
So who knows if teams might just wait and claim him in free agency, which would be very unfortunate. I do not want that to happen at all.
Now,
has to go.
Yeah. To your point, Trevor Lawrence too, because I was talking to my brother who is a Giants fan. So obviously he loves Daniel Jones. He was, you know, he got some merchandise, you know, Danny Dimes, and he was all about it. And even this year, you know, he was very excited, looking forward to the season, seeing what Daniel Jones could do. But then now he's torn. And he said, listen, if the Giants somehow get the number one pick, which, I mean, it's not like out of the – I mean, they're 0-5-2. But if they get the number one pick and draft Trevor Lawrence, he goes, I can't be mad. Because he can't be. This dude is legit. Trevor Lawrence is legit. I think he's going to have a – very successful career in the NFL. And so for you, I think as much as you want to see Darnold succeed, and I know it's like got to be annoying, but look at the Cardinals. Look at, oh my God, so there's another team. I'm blanking though.
That's another thing that I worry about though. You look at the history of number one quarterbacks. Yeah, look at the Cardinals with Kyler Murray. But then I also want to look at someone like Baker Mayfield. Look at how that turned out.
But Baker Mayfield's not Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, I'm aware. Trevor Lawrence is a generational talent. He's very similar to Deshaun Watson. And what he's doing with no DeAndre Hopkins is still impressive.
Trevor Lawrence is basically like the best quarterback prospect. Obviously, you can say, well, what about Mahomes? Mahomes wasn't that high of a prospect as some of these guys. Trevor Lawrence is the best like quarterback prospect coming into the draft since like Andrew Luck. So if you can get a guy like that, you know, look at the Cardinals. They drafted Josh Rosen. He really didn't do anything good. They traded him to Miami. He didn't even do anything there. So clearly he was not going to become a franchise quarterback. And they got Kyler Murray, and now look at Kyler Murray. Yes, he's got to limit some of his turnovers, but he's making them very competitive in just his second year starting. And I think it's worked out for them. So I think, you know, if you have a chance at Trevor Lawrence, you got to just pull the trigger on that one and just take him. And funny with Sam Darnold is, because obviously you wouldn't just keep both quarterbacks, you'd get rid of Darnold. I saw Bears are a team that could be interested in Darnold if the Jets were to trade him. So
another thing, the Steelers could be another team.
Yes, or Saints or Colts, you know, because like the Bears, Mitch is definitely going to be gone after the season. Even if they keep Nick Foles is not the future. So Sam Darnold's a young quarterback that Nagy can try to hopefully groom and turn into, hopefully Gase didn't destroy and just like regress Sam Darnold so much that there's no saving him. Hopefully there's some untapped potential, which I think there is with Darnold, that whether it's Nagy or Frank Reich or Sean Payton or Mike Tomlin could get out of him, you know. So it's going to be very, very interesting.
I just want to say, going back to what you're saying about Darnold and his untapped potential and being coached by Gase, look at all the guys who have left either the Jets or the Dolphins, or once Gase left the Dolphins, or players that have left the Jets, and look at what they're doing. Robbie Anderson, obviously balling out. When I had Kenyon Drake, even though he struggled, he's still a solid running back for the Cardinals. Mike Gesicki on the Dolphins, just to name a few. Those are guys that were coached by Gase that were kind of...
Jarvis Landry
for sure, even though he's kind of the number two, but he's breaking out into a star in this league.
Well, it's tough because he was their number one until Odell Beckham Jr. arrived, you know? And to be honest, I think Odell Beckham Jr. has regressed by coming to Cleveland.
I would disagree about that for this season. But that's for another. That's something we'll talk about another time.
Okay. Ooh, that was a lot. I guess at this point, we talked about all that we could with that. We just have to watch it, let everything unfold, watch it happen. Hopefully, in your case, it'll be for the better. But you really, you don't know.
You know what the outcome will be come Sunday if you're a Jets fan.
Oh, yeah. You think 0-16 season's on the way?
It's more likely 0-16 than winning four games.
True. Maybe like, who's the teams that have gone 0-16? The Lions, the Dolphins.
The Browns.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so you can, maybe even the Jets will add to the list.
Fun fact about the Browns, who is their defensive coordinator?
Yours.
Yes, Greg Williams.
Yeah. So we'll see. Maybe he can.
Two times.
I mean, when he was given his shot at the interim head coach, that's when they started doing pretty good. So maybe the Jets have to just give him the keys to the show and let him run things. But they just don't like to move on from Gase. But we've been talking about that. So now I guess we can go to our weekly segment, Start 'Em, Sit 'Em. And this is where our social media guy, Matt Engler, will join us. So Matt, welcome aboard.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course. So basically now we'll give our Start 'Em, Sit 'Ems for the week. I know my picks last week were not good. I don't want to talk about it at all. Promise, yours did pretty good. So if you want to talk about yours, you can.
Oh, I will gladly talk about them. Who did I have? I need to remember that. Oh, I know I had Justin Jefferson, and that was really the only bad pick I had. I said I had him as a Start 'Em, but he had 4 points. Not impressive. But my other pick, CeeDee Lamb, obviously balled against the Giants with, like we said earlier in the show, with Dak Prescott, with Andy Dalton. Didn't really matter for him. Robbie Anderson continues to ball. Obviously, we just said with him, Gase isn't coaching him. He's just balling, and that's what he's doing. The Falcons' defense is trash. And then my two sit-ems. Jerry Jeudy didn't play New England last week because of COVID. They're playing this week. So, I mean, he's still a sit-em in my opinion, but we'll talk about a different sit-em later. And Terry McLaurin, no Haskins. Kyle Allen turned to the starter, but Kyle Allen got hurt in that game, and they turned to Alex Smith. It's a roller coaster of quarterbacks in Washington. It doesn't really matter. Either way, whoever's throwing to them, if their name isn't Dwayne Haskins, no Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, I just want to apologize for anyone who benched Kareem Hunt because of me. Because, you know, he ended up having like 17 points. He had that receiving touchdown. The Colts defense was looking very good. And for a while there, they were stopping Kareem Hunt. I mean, he had that early receiving touchdown, of course. But then he couldn't really run the ball that much. But he ended up, I mean, like he had 71 yards on 11 attempts against Dallas. He had 72 yards on 20 attempts against Indy. So when you run that ball that much, you're bound to get a decent amount of yards. But he ended up doing a lot better than I thought he would, so I apologize for that. That's the only one I wanted to apologize for.
Hey, Miles Sanders also.
Well, yeah. So, well, we can get into this week's. So, Matt, not that you're our guest, but since you're kind of our guest, I'll let you go first.
Okay. So my first stardom of the week is someone who I feel is on everyone's radar at this point because of the running back likely on track not to play this week with a bye week coming up following week, and that is Alexander Mattison, the Vikings running back. So Dalvin Cook, like I said before, is likely to not play this week due to injury, and they have a bye week coming up week 7. So Alexander Mattison, if he's still available in your league for some reason, pick him up. He's going to have a week. They are playing the Atlanta Falcons, who we all know is similar to the Jets, not good this year. They're also currently 0-5. Josh can't even argue with that.
The Giants. I don't get why.
Okay, fine. The Giants are bad too. Whatever. So Madison's going to have a week. The Falcons are not good defensively whatsoever. And even in the past couple weeks with Cook playing, he's gone off. Without Cook, he's going to go off even more. He's going to get even more touches. So he should be in your lineup this week. Pick him up if he's still available and put him in your lineup. My second and other stardom pick of the week is one that some may feel is a little risky, and it's not biased, even though I'm a Giants fan, is Devontae Freeman. So hear me out. They're playing a Washington team. Their defense, rushing-wise, is not good. Passing, sure. Their defense passing-wise is pretty good, which is why I feel like Freeman's going to have a good week. Jones and the Giants are not going to – their passing-wise is not going to go well this week versus that Washington pass rush. Freeman's going to get a lot of touches. Last week he got a lot of touches. It seems like now he's the clear number one guy in New York. And this week versus Washington, he's going to have a great game, rack up a lot of yards. Washington, if you want a fact, they've given up 8 rushing touchdowns this season already, which is tied for 3rd worst in the league, which means the passing game for the Giants, as much as I love Daniel Jones, they talked about it earlier, he's not good this year, and I just don't think he's going to have a good game, and Freeman is going to have a game, so put him in your lineup. It might be risky, but trust me, he's going to have a good game.
Now, I do like that pick. I do like that pick. I think Devontae Freeman, like, he really did start to look like his old form last week against Dallas. Not fully, because him just a few years ago was one of the better backs in this league. But he definitely has looked like he's starting to get back to the pace of the game and get back to what he's known for. So those are some interesting picks. Promise.
I really like the Madison pick. In a way, he's kind of like a mini Dalvin Cook, the way he runs, the way he carries the ball. Yeah, Dalvin Cook is the big name star that everyone knows and talks about. But he's such a good complementary back that in Dalvin Cook's absence, I think he is that factor that will spark that offense. Even though the Vikings also are trash, he's definitely someone that you should start this week. So credits to those two picks. A little skeptical on Devontae Freeman, but hopefully it benefits everyone who's starting him.
All right, Fromitz, now let's hear yours.
Showtime. Okay.
Oh, yeah, it is.
First one, a lot. I know he's probably on everyone's no longer waiver wire because after today, everyone has picked him up. Whoever had the top waiver claim, it's going to be Chase Claypool, the rookie out of Notre Dame for the Steelers. He dropped a 41 burger last week, 4 total touchdowns, 3 receiving, 1 rushing. He's proving how versatile he could be. And this week, the Steelers got a tough game against the Browns. We all know what happened last time those two teams met. It's going to be a bloodbath, very physical. But what makes Claypool unique is, like I said, doesn't need to be a threat in the passing game. Could also be a threat in the run game. He's very versatile. He's a tall target for Big Ben. So when it comes to the red zone TDs, Claypool's his guy. It'll take the load off Juju Smith-Schuster, who's going to be getting a lot of coverage, and obviously because he's the number one. Claypool has proven to be a solid 2-3 receiver. And after his big game last week, I don't know how you cannot start him this week. Brown's secondary isn't good. So Claypool, I expect to have another good game. Not as good as 41 points, but I think 10, 20 points is reasonable for him. And another young guy, another receiver, A.J. Brown. And a lot of people like him. He's on everyone, most people's teams already, but he may not necessarily be starting in your league. And this guy balled out as a rookie, having 1,000 yards rushing, receiving. Wow. My bad. And he wasn't healthy this year to begin the year. He played week one, and then he got hurt. And then he missed a few weeks. And obviously with the Titans' COVID outbreak, hasn't really played until this past week when on Tuesday they played the Bills. And he balled out like we saw last year. 7 catches, 82 yards, and a touchdown. Proven he's that number one target again for Ryan Tannehill. Helps out Mr. Big Boy Derrick Henry. Let him find his run game a little easier if his receivers are able to get going. So A.J. Brown's looking healthy and scary again. So he's definitely someone you want to put in your starting lineup.
Interesting picks. Yeah, in one of my leagues, so I'm in 3 leagues, which is way too many. But anyways, one of my leagues, I tried adding Chase Claypool in the waiver wire, but of course I didn't have number one, and he went to the guy who had the first waiver pick. So he now has him because, yeah, he will probably become a reliable flex player. And the Steelers got him the second round. They didn't have a first round draft pick either because they traded for Minka, and they got him the second round, and he's starting to, you know, prove that he should have went higher. So that's a good pick for them. And if you have him on your team, that was a good pickup for you too. So, and then A.J. Brown, of course, in one of my other leagues, this is a league that I don't really care about too much, but I had him on my team. I drafted him. And he's been injured, so I didn't play him. And, of course, he balled out. So now I'm going to, you know, make sure, like, to involve him in my lineup because, like you said, when he's healthy, when he's on the field, he means business. He puts up points. He puts up some stats. He is one of the better receivers, young receivers in this game right now. So be interesting and to see what he continues to do. So for me, my first stardom, and this is a guy I have, and he's done pretty good. But for everyone else, Devontae Parker. Listen, this dude's really starting to become, like, prove himself, make a name for himself. He's been in the league for a good amount of time now, and his first couple of seasons were a little slow. A lot of people thought that, you know, he's not what they thought he would be. But between last season and this season, he's starting to prove that he can be a number one guy. And he has a great matchup this week against the Jets, 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 Jets. Fitzpatrick looked, and the Dolphins looked really good against the 49ers last week, which surprised me. And he caught a touchdown that game. And the week before that, he had 10 receptions for 110 yards against Seattle, whose Seattle defense has been, especially the secondary, has been weakened without Jamal Adams playing the past couple games. And they've had some other injuries on that side. So, and against the 49ers, he didn't have that many catches. He only had 2, but he had 50 yards. So, decent amount of yards. But he had a touchdown, which is touchdowns help. So, he finished with 12 points last week. So, listen, even if you don't start him in a receiver spot, if you start him in a flex spot, I think he should do well. I think he should be able to torch the Jets a little bit, especially with everything going on in New York.
Yeah, I just want to say something. We did pretty well last week. We played the Cardinals, and we held DeAndre Hopkins only to 25 fantasy points. So that sounds like a
win. That's a win for them.
Yeah, Kyler Murray only threw for 380 yards. So, yeah.
Only. Held him to under 400. That's a win for me.
That's it. So, yeah, I think Devontae Parker in this matchup against the Jets should do well. I don't think, you know, he'll have 40 points, but he should at least have double-digit points. So I think that should be a reliable starter to start on your team. Then the other one, I have Calvin Ridley against the Minnesota Vikings. Calvin Ridley has now ranked as a third, at least for ESPN, that third ranked receiver in fantasy. This dude in every game has over 100 receiving yards. I don't know if I forgot. Did he not play against Green Bay, or did he like get hurt mid game kind of? Because Green Bay's only game, he had 0 catches for 0 yards. I think
he got hurt.
I think he got hurt. So, but every game that he's played the full game, he has over 100 yards. So with that being said, he's going against Minnesota. Minnesota's secondary is very young, very inexperienced, and they've been allowing a lot of yards to receivers. So even though the Falcons have looked awful the past couple weeks, I still expect Calvin Ridley to, especially if Julio plays, they're going to try to put a lot of tension on Julio. And again, Calvin Ridley should just have a lot of one-on-ones. And really, the only thing, I mean, listen, the Vikings did play well against Seattle Sunday night. I'll give you them that. But again, they were only able to stop Tyler Lockett, but DK Metcalf still went off. So if they are only trying to focus their attention on one receiver, I have a feeling they're going to try to focus on Julio. So I think Calvin Ridley should have a pretty good day. And I just think he's too talented not to. So, and it'll be interesting to see what the offense is like and how the team moves forward without Dan Quinn.
I like that. I think the Calvin Ridley, it's a little bit of a risky move, but he's proven to be a factor regardless. So I think regardless who's the coach, that'll be a very smart pick.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go off regardless. And who's your other pick?
Devontae Parker.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that.
Oh, yeah, no, you don't.
That's a great pick. That's why.
Yeah, so hopefully these picks actually, you know, do well, just so I'm not feeding off bad information like I did last week. Not that it was bad information, but whatever. So,
hey, wait, before we move on, Steve, I got a question for you.
Yes.
I'm a Fangler because you're also on here as a guest. I got a receiver, and I wanted to put him as a stardom. And Steve, okay, you know what I'm about to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Fulgham. Wide receiver.
Fulgham, I think.
Eagles, whatever his name is. Doesn't matter to me. I picked him up, and he's been balling. Like, the Eagles have no receivers, so he's put up 14 points and 31 points in his two appearances. He's got Baltimore this week, which could be very tough. But assuming Rager's not playing, Alshon Jeffrey doesn't play, and DeSean Jackson doesn't play, he'll be the number one target. Is he worth starting?
He has been putting up some pretty good numbers. He's caught a touchdown in his two games that he's played. And this past game, he had like 10 catches for over 150 yards. Like he really did well. The only thing is, I think I need at least one more a week to really make himself prove that he could be Wentz's go-to guy for this season. I mean, it seems like Wentz wants to go to him. So I don't know, just because this guy really has come out of nowhere. It's not like, and he's only been doing it now the past 2 weeks. I don't even think he suited up and played the first 3-4 weeks, however many, you know, games have been played. So as much as I want to say yes, I think to play it safe, you got to give it one more week. Engler, I don't know what you have to say on this.
I actually agree with you, Steve. I believe it's one more week as well. Plus, the injured receivers that Josh talked about, Alshon Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson, may be coming back this week. So that's something to keep an eye on. So if they do come back, I think that Fulgham, however you pronounce it, will have a workload decrease because those star receivers will be coming back. Plus, they're facing a tough Baltimore secondary. So I think it's a high risk, high reward, but I would keep him not starting for this week.
Okay. So there you go, Fromitz. Hopefully, and for anyone else who may have picked him up and is wondering, the popular opinion seems to be give him one more week, see what he can do. Even if he doesn't do as well, you know, because the game he had last week, it's going to be tough to, you know, repeat that same. I mean, that was a really good game he had. So, yeah, give it some more time, see how it plays out. But now I want to hear you guys' sit-ups. So, Matt, who do you think people should sit on their teams this week?
Yes. So you guys talked about it earlier with Dak's devastating ankle injury, season ending most likely. So Andy Dalton is now the starting quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. And their star receiver, Amari Cooper, I believe you guys should bench him this week. Everyone should bench him, Cooper, this week. So, like I said, Dalton's the quarterback. And last week, at the end of the game, it seems like Michael Gallup was his go-to guy. It seems like Gallup got majority of the targets from Dalton. So, obviously, that was just a quarter and a half or whatever it was of Dalton throwing the ball. And we got to see for a full game what happens. But we got to see who his go-to guy is. If it's going to be Gallup, great. If it's going to be Cooper, fine. Or if it's going to be CeeDee Lamb, cool. They have a powerhouse of three star receivers in Dallas. So at this point, we got to see who his go-to guy is. It seems for Dak, it was Cooper. Dalton, it could be Lamb or Gallup. So I feel like this week, Amari Cooper should be on your bench, especially against a tough Arizona Cardinal secondary. So Cooper, again, like I said with Fulgham, is a high-risk, high-reward type of pick and starter. But I feel like at this week, against the Cardinals, with Dalton's first start and very questionable and iffy throwing, I feel like Cooper should be on your bench this week. And my other sit-on pick is Melvin Gordon of the Denver Broncos. So he's questionable to play in the first place. So Melvin Gordon seemed to be an idiot this week and got charged with DUI and speeding. So it's looking like he won't even play this Sunday and possibly for the next couple of games due to a either league or team suspension. So it should be an obvious pick. Gordon's most likely not going to play due to suspension. So just keep him on your bench. And if for some reason he does play this week, they're playing the Patriots. And we all know how good Bill Belichick's Patriots defense can be and is, especially run defense. And the Broncos have not been good this year running-wise. Gordon's been good, but they have a backup in Philip Lindsay who has starter potential and has been a starter in the past. So I feel like if Gordon plays, Lindsay's going to get a lot of the carries anyway. And it should be obvious Gordon's not going to play most likely, so just keep him on your bench. It's just the safer move.
Yeah, of course I have Melvin Gordon in one of my leagues, and when I found the news out that he got arrested, I was not too happy. Granted, I don't really play him too much in my lineup, but he's a pretty reliable option if I have no other choices or if I need to put him in a flex. So him being, you know, he's going to, depending on what they rule with, like, if, you know, they might overrule his, what he, you know, got arrested for, the DUI and speeding. Who knows what will happen with that. So that's, you know, not the most ideal thing. But Amari Cooper, that's a pretty ballsy.
I got bold picks this week, fellas.
Yeah, you do. You came out with a bang, so it'll be interesting to see. But hey, listen, you got a good point to it. You know, every quarterback has their guy. So like you said, Dak, lugged Amari. But you know, CD's really been rising up the ranks on that team for the amount of snaps and catches and stuff like that. And then Michael Gallup's kind of like that overlooked guy who could make a difference in a game like he did. He made some big-time plays at the end of the Giants game. So we'll see how that one fares out. Farmitz, do you have any bull picks like Matt does?
I don't know if I could top Angler's bull pick with Amari Cooper. I'll try.
I don't think any of us will.
To start, I'm going to go with Joe Mixon because he's playing the Colts, and we've already talked about what the defense has done the past few podcasts. We even started talking about it today. Kareem Hunt was a mistake benching him last week, but in a way, I look at it as a positive. He had his touchdown that we talked about, but the Colts held him to 72 yards on 20 carries, which really isn't that good. That was the most yards that defense has given up to the primary rusher all year. Usually they allow 60 yards or less to the primary rushers. So that's really good numbers. Joe Mixon has been very inconsistent this year. He had one big game, but other than that, he hasn't rushed for more than 70 yards. So I don't see him going off this week against the Colts defense, who is number one in the league. And another, I guess you could call this a bold pick, but not really, Jarvis Landry. I'm going to bench because he's the number two behind Odell. And like I wanted to say earlier, Steve, and I told you how I don't want to get into it, Odell has looked a little like prime New York Giants Odell. Touchdowns early. He's looking like what the Giants got rid of him for, what the Browns got him for. Scoring, flashy ability to catch the ball in traffic, whatever. They're using, they're creative with Blake calling with Odell. But Jarvis hasn't shown any flashes this year. He had one passing touchdown, and that was it. That's his only touchdown of the year. No receiving touchdowns. The passing touchdown against the Cowboys, he had 15 points. Other than that, he has two games with 7 points and two games with 11. It doesn't really satisfy me. This week, they got the Steelers, like I said. I don't like that. Sit him.
Yeah, no, I get that. Jarvis is – because he can break out, but it's just tough when you're on a team like that, when you have so many options, and especially they like to run the ball so many times. So Jarvis is only going to get a limited amount of opportunities and, you know, targets. So if he doesn't catch the ball or if it's a bad throw or whatever, you know, so yeah. And Pittsburgh's defense is pretty good, so that's a pretty good pick. I guess I'll make mine. And mine is two guys from the same game, different teams. So I'm choosing from the Rams 49ers game. So my first one, sit 'em, is Daryl Henderson Jr., LA's running back. The Rams running back, they kind of like a committee. They don't really have one guy like when they did with Gurley. You know, they have Daryl Henderson, they have Malcolm Brown. I believe Cam Akers is coming back. So the rookie. So with that being said, you know, Daryl Henderson had a touchdown last week. He had two, actually, receiving and rushing, but he only had 38 rushing yards, and that was against Washington's defense, which Washington's defense is definitely a lot better than people give them credit for, but they're not an elite defense, and they're not like the 49ers defense. So now I know 49ers defense has looked a little shady the past couple of weeks against the Eagles and especially against Miami. However, I think they're still pretty solid enough where, especially when Daryl Henderson, you know, is going to share carries with the other guys. And I think they're going to want to try to take advantage of the 49ers injured secondary and linebacking corps. So, you know, they're going to want to take advantage of that. They're going to try to stretch the ball downfield and try to get an early lead because the 49ers offense hasn't looked too good. And that's where my other sit-em comes in with Deebo Samuel. Deebo missed the first couple weeks with an injury, and I'm torn on him because you have a guy like Brandon Ayuk who has come in and done pretty well. You have a quarterback situation where they have some now question marks. Jimmy G missed the past couple weeks with an ankle injury, came back last week, threw two picks and was benched for C.J. Beathard. And, you know, Kyle Shanahan said it was more out of injury precaution. By that point, they were losing. He didn't want to get hurt, and he didn't think he was maybe quite ready. And Deebo himself has just not looked good. Against Philly, he had three catches for 35 yards. And against Miami, whose secondary is still missing Byron Jones, I believe, had two catches for 19 yards. So it seems like they're not getting Deebo involved. And now he's going to have to go against Jalen Ramsey, whether Jalen Ramsey might shadow either, you know, Deebo or cover Deebo and maybe Ayuk. You know, they can pick and choose. They also have John Johnson at safety coming, you know. So the Rams defense is still pretty legit. So I just don't – if they haven't really been able to get Deebo involved yet, I don't know if this is a week they will be able to. So – that being said, I think the 49ers are really going to try to run the ball with McKinnon and Mostert. I think that's the only thing that has been working for them this year. Passing, obviously, it's not worked out too well for them this year. So I think they're going to try to regain their rushing attack, that identity that they had most of last year, especially in the playoffs. So, yeah, so I think those two guys – should be sit-ems. I think that game, I don't know how that game will play out. If it'll be defensive Lee dominated, or maybe the both teams will put up a lot of points. I don't know. So, yeah, so those are the stardoms and sit-ins for this week. Hopefully we gave some good advice. And before we go, I just want to break there's some breaking news while we were recording the show, and it's not anything football related, but with the basketball side, Tyronn Lue was hired by the LA Clippers. He is finalizing a 5-year deal to become their coach, and that was Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted that. So obviously we don't have time to go too in depth. We can go talk about it more for next week, but I just wanted to break the news. So we'll see. The Clippers got their head coach. Who knows how long that'll last, but moved on from Doc Rivers, and now they got Tyronn Lue there. So teams are now – they want to make a they know the Lakers are now the team to beat, so they're trying to make the best moves they can. So it'll be interesting going forward. However, that's all the time we have for today. Make sure to follow up on our social media, on Instagram at the 3P Podcast. Matt's been doing a tremendous job running that, so thank you. And again, just, you know, keep on listening to the shows. We'll keep cranking them out if you, you know, keep listening to them. So thank you for tuning in. I'm your host, Simon Nazan. I've been joined by
Josh Fromowitz
and Matt.
Matt Angwood. Yep.
There you go. So thanks again. And we'll see you next week.